The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online. Alongside that, you get a £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to the Americano podcast, a series of discussions about American politics, power and prejudices. It is 2025 and Donald Trump is president once again of the United States. We will, of course, be following the moves of the Donald and his second administration very closely. However, it won't just be politics for us this year. We'll also talk a lot and cover American culture, life, and the arts. I should also remind you, because my producer Natasha will not let me hear the end of it, that we are on Spectator TV. So head to our YouTube channel to watch that. Today we're going to be talking about DeepSeek and what DeepSeek is doing to the American economy, with none other than Joe Weisenthal, who is co-host of Bloomberg's Odd Lots, podcast, and a friend of the show, indeed. Joe, let's start with sort of what's happened for people that haven't really been keeping up.
Sure.
Over the weekend, a bit of fear broke out about what DeepSeek, the power of DeepSeek as an AI tool, coming as it does from China. This caused great convulsions in the stock market on Monday. That appears to have been calmed a little bit yesterday. And then today, we don't know. Am I right there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. It's just a tremendous, tremendous story for so many levels. I mean, look, you know, starting about late 2022, so a little over 2 years ago, OpenAI released ChatGPT, which was sort of the first major light bulb moment for people like, wow, this is incredible technology. You ask a question into a box, it basically does whatever you want to varying degrees of quality. That opened up this incredible sort of multi-year rally in all kinds of companies that were in some way connected to artificial intelligence. Still very unclear how anyone is going to make money on this. Still anyone clear where any of it is going. Nonetheless, it's just so exciting, so novel to people that all the big tech companies, you know, who are building models, they've rallied. NVIDIA has become the biggest company in the world because they make the very best chips for training these models and so forth. And it's gotten so big that, you know, there is a sense in which the entire U.S. stock market, to some extent, is like a bet on AI because these companies have just become so big. And we know that Chinese companies of various sorts are extremely competitive and eating America's lunch and eating the rest of the world's lunch and things like cars and solar panels and things like that. We've known that for a long time. But the truth of these matter is that cars and solar panels just aren't that important to the U.S. stock market. These companies aren't that big. They're not that profitable and so forth. And then DeepSeek is released. Now, weirdly, and we can talk about this too, the actual performance of the paper and its cheapness and so forth were actually spelled out in December, but maybe because it was Christmas and maybe because there wasn't a public chatbot, it sort of didn't get much attention. Suddenly, people start paying attention to the chatbot. It's very cheap. It's for almost any purpose, it seems to be just as good as not the most advanced model from OpenAI, but one of the more advanced models. And suddenly it's like, wait a second, we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on all this stuff. Can it be made much more cheaply? And so you get this big stock market sell-off on Monday, which strikes all kinds of nerves from just pure finance to economics to national security. It's a great story.
Well, it is a great story because it does show just how manic things are around AI.
Yeah.
And how much money is going into how so little understanding.
That's right.
Because as you say, DeepSeek does seem to have been around for a while, and then suddenly there's panic because it goes a bit public. And NVIDIA's role is, there's a lot of talk about that too, isn't there? Because some people are saying, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that the arrival of DeepSeek should be good news for NVIDIA.
That's right.
And yet it was seen as very bad news for NVIDIA. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So I think there's like the NVIDIA question, as it were, is sort of multiple dimensions. So one is we don't really know for sure the hardware capacity that DeepSeek currently has access to. Now, something that's very interesting about DeepSeek is that it was born out of a quantitative hedge fund in China. And there is this very elegant story that people like to tell, and it may even be true, that, you know, speculative finance in China isn't as encouraged as it is in the West. And maybe they felt some pressure to do something productive with all their brains and all the chips that they have access. It's a nice story. I kind of want to believe it. I kind of think it's one of these stories that's a little bit too nice to, you know, satisfies our bias about this sort of, you know, this sort of the cost of financial capitalism and so forth. But it's a nice story. But it is true. There was this quantitative hedge fund, and they seem to, on the side, have developed a large language model. They probably had access to some volume of NVIDIA chips. In part because there weren't really any export restrictions on some of the older models up until recently. I guess there are two questions, and there are sort of two ways to think about it. If you think that AI is just, say, some business tool that will be used to, say, for example, reduce the need for humans to do tech support at large organizations, and that there are some tools that exist and AI can solve that, then you would say, well, that's bearish for NVIDIA, because it turns out that if we believe all these stories, you just don't need as much chips and computing capacity to do some of these as we thought. On the other hand, if you say, no, ultimately, this is going to head towards something towards AGI, which I don't really know what that means, but these supercomputers that sort of like smarter, 10 times smarter than a human, and we're still on the race towards that. Then the other story is that you can do a lot with NVIDIA chips, and we just are going to need even more of them because we're going to use the algorithmic techniques that DeepSeek discovered to get even more out of these chips. But in the end, we're just going to use up this compute. And so in the end, we'll just be using all the same NVIDIA chips. We'll just be getting even more out of them. I don't know which story is true. I don't know. You know, I sort of think it's almost like there's two. I get the impression, in a sense, that there is this sort of like Silicon Valley mindset and the Wall Street mindset. And the Wall Street mindset is like, okay, what is the business case for this technology? Can this be used to save money on human labor and improve productivity and improve margins, right? And then the Silicon Valley story is, no, you don't understand. We're building the new God here, and we're not going to rest because we're going to like save some doctor's office some money because they didn't have to have like a person booking the appointments. Yeah, maybe we could do that. But our goal here is to build the new God, and none of this slows down anything. In fact, it just accelerates it. And I don't know how much investors really believe the Silicon Valley story. But, you know, there are different stories you can tell about what we're actually doing here with all this technology. An important dimension here is that everybody is still, except NVIDIA and a few other like infrastructure companies, are basically still losing money on all of this tech. But so far, nobody has really seemed to care.
Yes. Well, the building the new God is of course, a fascinating part of it. And I wonder if the point where Wall Street and Silicon Valley cross over is in a kind of lust for P doom. It's known, a kind of, you know, something like this comes out, various people kick it around, not necessarily tech people, they try it, and they say, whoa, this is incredibly impressive. I just had a conversation about the meaning of the universe with a machine. And that leads to this sort of manic buying and selling around these stocks.
That's right. You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting when you think about, okay, what does it mean for the business of American tech companies? And again, the business of American tech companies is a really big deal for America because tech companies are how we fund retirement and college and so forth. We really need those stocks to continue to go up over time, I feel like, to sort of fulfill the contract, the implied social contract. To the middle class and so forth. Like if stocks don't go up generally over time, we have problems. But, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is, and this is something that people have under, this is not totally novel, which is that we are now, like, this cements this idea that there is an arms race going on that could be said to be akin to the building of the nuclear bomb. And this idea that we must get there before China, that this is an absolute national strategic imperative, that we can't let China build God before America builds God. And so one bull case is, wow, if, you know, this is a national project now, there could be a lot of money flowing to big tech companies in the race to build God before China builds God.
And Trump certainly seems to see things that way. I mean, he's said it's welcome because it's competition, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly, prior, you know, it was last week or whenever, prior to the DeepSeek sell-off, one of the first things he announced was this project that it's so far, you know, they're only talking about private sector money commitments called Stargate, involving OpenAI, involving Oracle and so forth. The CEO of Oracle, Larry Ellison, has been a big Trump supporter, does a lot of government business. That there's SoftBank, of course, is involved in it. And this idea to build this like $500 billion company to build out data centers and so forth. So from day one of this new administration, even before the market was freaked out about DeepSeek, the administration has made it clear that AI and accelerating it is a national project.
And to what extent should a cynic see parallels between the AI story at the moment and the crypto story of the last few years?
Look, AI really does stuff in a way. You know, I think it's actually a little bit unfortunate because there's a lot of people who are, in my opinion, rightly cynical about much of crypto. And it sort of jaded them on Silicon Valley tech bros, as you know, writ large. And this is just another toy for them. I actually think that's a little bit unfortunate because I think this is very powerful technology. I have gotten use out of it myself in multiple realms for both personal reasons, professional reasons. I've never coded software a day in my life. I've made 2025. I'm like, one of my New Year's resolutions is I want to build some software with the help of ChatGPT. It's going to tell me the code. And I'm actually kind of able to do it, a little side hobby of mine. There is real stuff here. Now, again, there is a difference between the real stuff that you could do with it today and the true, like, we're going to build something that is smarter than any human brain. I think there's a sort of reason. It's not crazy to be cynical about this. And, you know, and I think you sort of have this situation in which you have these doomsayers, right? You have these people who talk a lot about AI safety is really important. And they're like, you know, we do not want to have this machine and it gains sentience and it exerts control over us. You know, there's the famous philosophical experiment. They call it like, you know, the paperclip maximizer. You tell the AI we want to build as many paperclips as we can, and suddenly it takes over all the world's computer system. And then it turns everything, including human beings, into paperclips, and we're all dead. Now, the funny thing about that is, like, that story that they tell also serves the story of the AI optimists, because they converge on this thing that this technology is very powerful. So in a way, the AI safety people and the sort of AI optimist builders, they end up telling the same story, and it's very productive for all of them, and it's very seductive. And now I think that the DeepSeek China story, it only adds to all of this, where in the end, it all redounds to the benefit of the American AI model makers, because it just further accelerates the story that, like, something is being built that could happen that is just so tremendously powerful that we just have to keep rushing to it. So somehow, even the cynics or even the safety people end up playing into the hands of these sort of the AI builders.
That's a brilliant way of putting it, and I'm sure you're right. Is your impression that DeepSeek, while absolutely mind-numbingly brilliant when you first use it, is it already starting to melt a bit under pressure?
Well, it's funny, you know, so there's two things that people need to understand that make DeepSeek unique. So one of them is that it's open source technology. So we which means that anyone can download the DeepSeek software and you can actually run it on a high-end MacBook, which is really important because, you know, we have the attempt to ban TikTok. Somehow it still hasn't been banned yet, despite what the written law actually says. Okay, so the first, like, oh, are we going to ban DeepSeek? No, no, it is literally impossible. It is a piece of software that anyone can download. So the playbook of, like, we're going to ban this, it's not, it should not even be part of the conversation, even as a joke, because it just doesn't make sense. People, I have friends who already have it running on their computers. Then there is the fact that, you know, we're getting our first glimpse of, I find it actually very fun, of how Chinese internet censorship works, because you could go around and play with it, and there are certain questions it doesn't even answer. And there's something that is particularly fun about this. So DeepSeek is built, is called a so-called reasoning model. And OpenAI has reasoning models too. And the way it works is if you ask a question, you can actually see, you can't see this with OpenAI, but you can see with DeepSeek, the full train of thought that led it to an answer. So if I say, I'm preparing for a podcast with Freddie Gray, what should I know? It'll actually spit out a bunch of text that'll say, well, who is Freddie Gray? Well, it's a podcast. So he's probably talking about the Freddie Gray that hosts the Americano podcast. And now the Americano podcast is part of a UK publication. And so therefore, he probably wants to explain something about the US to a UK audience. And it'll spit out this full thing, and then it'll give you the answer. But it's very cool. You can see the train of thought that exists before it gets to the answer. But what's really funny is that you can see the train of thought on the censored questions, and then suddenly the screen goes blank. So I did a test of it yesterday, and I said, historians like to talk about a period in the late 1950s where a country made it a very aggressive push in 5 years to industrialize its economy with devastating effects on the rural area. So I didn't say the Great Leap Forward. I just sort of implied. And then it started to say, well, what was something that going on in the 1950s? Mao Zedong introduced something called the, and then it went blank. So you can actually start to probe a little bit about how, learn something about Chinese censorship. And it's like, you can spot the point in the train of thought where it actually says, oh, I better shut up and stop talking about this. It's actually very fun. So there, in the downloadable version that you can run on your computer, you can actually ask it about anything you want. It'll answer your questions about Tiananmen Square. It'll answer your questions about the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution. On the hosted version, whether it's the app or chat.deepseek.com, you can actually witness the point it gets to where it realizes it needs to shut up. It's very fun.
That is wonderful, and I encourage all Americano listeners and viewers to do it. Play around with it. Lastly, Joe, I want to ask you about energy and power, because this is, again, this is something you heard a lot about with crypto.
Yes, absolutely.
And it certainly seems to be true that AI is going to need enormous amounts of power. And that President Trump, in his communications, probably with Elon Musk, is thinking about American power needs for the technological future. How big a part of that story is that?
I think this is a great question, and there are so many dimensions. A friend of mine joked that, you know, there's a lot of left-wing people have been very dismissive of AI, and maybe they're all going to become AI believers now that China has made a version. But, you know, the strongman version of that is if you can get AI with much less power needs, which this sort of implies by the cheapness, then maybe you'll suddenly get a bunch of people like, oh, well, you know, I'm pro-Chinese AI because it doesn't contribute to global warming the way the AI they're doing in Silicon Valley does. Now, all that being said, this is huge. And like, you know, there's tremendously computationally intensive stuff. And again, if you actually just want to think about like US versus China competition on AI, part of the dimension may be, well, who can build electricity generation faster? We know that China continues to add a lot of coal to its mix and clearly does not have the same internal anxiety about adding coal generation as we have in the United States. They add a lot more nuclear, et cetera. So I do think this sort of creates an impetus to figure out some of these structural slash regulatory roadblocks that would apply to both coal, nuclear, and renewable generation in the United States and get them online faster. But if you're just looking right now at like which country is capable of adding power to its mix faster, this is at current should be another source of anxiety if you think about this as a U.S. versus China race.
Joe Wiesenthal, it is always wonderful to hear your insights. Yeah. I hope we can get you back on again soon.
Anytime. I always say yes.
To discuss P-Doom, the next phase of P-Doom.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you for listening to that episode of Americano. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a review on whatever platform you are watching or listening into it on. We prefer positive reviews, although some constructive criticism is also welcome. I'd also urge you to sign up to the Americano newsletter, which I write every week. It comes out on Thursdays, and people seem to be enjoying it so far. Thank you very much to the audience. Thanks also to my producer, Natasha Feroze, for doing such a wonderful job. And speak to you next time.